Welcome to the show, Alex van der Linden from Brapaholic. How are you doing?
Hi, Simon. Yeah, it's great to be part of it. I'm perfectly all right.
Alex, good to have you here.
Yeah, fun. Yeah, looking forward to it.
First off, just from the start, I love the name Brapaholic.
Yeah, thanks.
So give me the backstory. How do you come about?
It's kind of started a few years ago when I entered the rap scene. And I had to figure out a name, and people around me usually call me workaholic. So I kind of made the connection with rapping, rapaholic. It just popped up in my mind one of these days when I was figuring out what kind of name I would come up with. And yeah, it felt good. So we're using it.
I love it. It sounds great.
Yeah.
You and I, we met each other before a couple of years back.
Yeah.
We're talking just before we started recording, and we were wondering where it was we met. And what I remember is that you and I met over at a FESPA, or actually we met at a boat over the River Thames.
Yep, in London.
I don't know which party that was, but I remember you having, I think you were smoking a Cohibas, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, you remember.
And right. Enjoying a drink.
Yep.
That's what I remember.
Usually, yeah, Cohibas is a way of enjoying some little time for me, yeah.
All right, so my memory suits me,
yeah.
Right. Good.
Yeah,
so for everyone that doesn't know you, Alex, besides you apparently being a rapaholic and liking Cohibas, who is Alex?
Dutch boy, born and raised. Since young, when I finished school, started in the signing industry. That was
just off the start, or you happened to
stumble
upon it?
It's the study I did was like a Dutch way system, a Dutch school system. Wouldn't want to bother you with all the difficult names and all the difficult systems we have here. But this is a painting and advertisement schooling. So you learn to do all the lettering techniques, the marble techniques, painting,
all right,
everything that has to do with this area of industry. And so my first few years, I started as a painter, basically. And but very soon, the company I started to work with had two different sections in the company, which was advertisement and painting. And
that's interesting.
Yeah, I was kind of pushing to enter this part of the company, of the advertisement, but they weren't that easy to change. So I 2 years after I started working there, I resigned there and started with another company and entered the signing industry. And yeah, this is basically where it started for me with signing. Started with a one-man company that I entered, an older guy, and he kind of taught me all the little tricks in the signing industry. Back then, this didn't have any connection with rapping because it didn't really exist in the 90s. So,
but that means that you must have seen the starts,
yep,
right?
Yeah,
happening over in Holland.
Yeah, I remember.
You remember your first rap you ever saw?
Yep. No, I remember the first rap I did. I can't remember the first rap I saw. It must have been around the same time, but this was in the late 90s. And I think around 1999, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we were doing the vehicle raps or vehicle signing. And the pieces that we put on the car were getting bigger and bigger. So eventually we're making half of the car, we'll be putting Avery 900 series on it. This was usually the brand we worked with. So in the beginning, we started rapping with Avery 900. It's old school.
So no channels?
Nope.
And straight tech?
No, just, yeah, straight tech. If it smelled the car, it stuck on.
So you started from there, right?
Yeah, this was back then. I think it was 1999 2000, around this year I started my own company, and back then, mostly it was vehicle signing from small companies to big, large companies. So this was kind of the start.
Do you remember thinking maybe that when you were applying the first car wraps or half wraps with Avery 900, do you remember thinking, wow, this is really hard or this is fun? What were your thoughts there? Remember?
Yeah, first thoughts was, I don't think I should repeat the words, but probably cursing. Yeah, back then, but yeah, you kind of work with what you got. There wasn't any other choice, so you work with what you get, what you have, and you do what you can.
So you, because I mean, you know how people usually tend to say, "Ah, it was better back then in the old good old days." Would you agree with that, or you're happy with their release? And
I think it was good. I mean, it teaches you how to work with the minimum we had back then. And nowadays it's getting more and more easier, but people forget to put the attention on the finishing touch. And yeah, maybe back then this was more more up your face, you know. You had to do it perfectly because there's no changing, or
it's not going back. Yeah.
When it touches the car, that's it. You can't pull it back, it will rip. Or so, yeah, it's one way or no way.
I happen to say, maybe you're out about and doing in a customer's shop and you're away from your shop and you only have one sticker, and yeah, you don't want to mess that up.
Yeah. I think, these days were good. I mean, they taught us how to work with basic vinyl, and it taught us the basic principles and the way you should things work with wrapping or stickering or lettering. So yeah, basically back then the days were good, but I love it now as well because there are more options and vehicles are getting more interesting, people are getting more known with wrapping here, so more and more people choose to get their cars wrapped, which is positive for us, positive for the industry.
I just had a thought. Since you've been around for a while, and you started up wrapping with 900 series, and do you remember what you thought when you tried it out a release for the first time?
Let me go back. Yeah, I think for us this was okay. So it made it a lot easier. But still, you had to be really careful with how you finish your the details and stuff. I can't remember like it was a negative thing, but just like a new thing, and it gives you more options and more opportunities. And most of it, the only thing it saved was some time. Things we could do things a little bit faster.
So you choose to see it from the positive side.
Absolutely. You should look at every change as an opportunity and see what you can do with it. Get the good things out.
Right. I brought you from one place to another, but we were talking a little bit about your first wrap. What wrap was it?
It was my brother's car.
Was it sucker or no?
It was a really bad old junky car. He was a student back then. I remember he got his first car, but it looked like crap. The paint was peeling off because it was an old Toyota, and the paint wasn't that good.
So you can blame it on the paint, not on the poorly performed wrap.
No. I remember we sat down and talked about it, and he said, "I have to repaint the car," but he was a student. He didn't have any money to to do so. So, we started like a challenge, and he said if we can wrap it with, back then we didn't call it wrapping. He said if you could put the foil on, maybe it will look good. So I remember put a two-tone version of the car, made a two-tone version with silver and black gloss and silver gloss.
I love it that you say maybe.
Yeah.
You just didn't know, right? I mean, it was the first one.
It was the first one, and we didn't have any name for it. I mean, back then we knew that the German taxi cars were kind of put vinyl on it. We didn't really know how they do it. We didn't really think about it. So I just tried, because I said, if we can put company vans, put half of the van in yellow and some stickers on, because some company wants to put their brand on the market like this, and I could do it with your car as well and make it look better. This was just the beginning for us. So I tried, and it worked out pretty good. Actually, the car was sold like 4 or 5 years later on. And we saw it on this car marketplace on the internet. Hmm. It came across, still looking wrapped in two colors, and they sell it as painted. So they didn't even know it was wrapped with foil. But this was, this was kind of a compliment for us.
Props to you.
Yeah.
I know that you do pretty much varied work, right? You work commercially, you work with the private side. Yeah. But when let's keep on going chronologically. So let's say you are in the start of the 2000s, right? You started rapping a little bit.
Yeah.
Did you thought, okay, I'm going to go solo, I'm going to start doing private cars, I'm going to go commercial, I'm going to be working, because you were young, right, at the industry?
When I started my own company, it was back in 2009, like 2000. Mm-hmm. What age was I? I'm 43 now, turning 44.
You're still a boy.
Yeah, 44 in 2 weeks. I think, 2000, this was like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you were... Yeah, right. 25, right?
No, 20 years ago, I started my own company. Yeah, it's been a hell of a trip. But back then, it was mostly, I started out as doing commercial vehicles. And 2000, and let me think. You make me think. you make me dig out old memories.
And where there's time for it.
Yeah. In 2010, I started Rapaholic. Beginning of 2011. Yeah, the end of 2010. And back then, I just started Rapaholic just to focus on private vehicle rap only. This was the
main... Why did you go that way? What made you choose private? Cars.
Because I noticed back then in the industry, people were avoiding private industry. So people were doing commercial wraps, commercial letterings, no problem, because this is a different market. Clients are less picky about the way you do your work. They demand less quality because it's just industrial use, mm-hmm. and industrial level. It's different from private wraps, because when you have a private car, people tend to be more how do you call it? It's a holy cow, we say. It's private car. They're crazy about it. It means everything. So they're more picky about how you finish the work. So the quality is higher, and the demands are higher. And my thought was, because back then the industry avoided doing private car wraps, I thought, if they don't do it, I can do it. So I don't have that much competition, first of all. And second of all, they were just saying, but you'll get a lot of complaints. And my only answer is just do your job better. Do a better job. Get your quality higher. And they'll be satisfied and they'll be okay. And which was true in the beginning, for sure, because there weren't that much other companies doing private wraps. So,
But do you say that the market was already there when you started out? Or because back then in the 2010, it was still pretty young, right?
Yeah, it was still pretty young.
You had to teach.
Yeah,
the customer.
Yeah. You had to really negotiate with clients and really convince them that this wrapping is something is new and it's got a future. It's not going to be a thing that's going to be just for a short term, like a new gadget, and then it will disappear. We were pretty sure that this is going to be the future. And it's going to stay, and it's not going to stay for 2 or 3 years, but it's going to stay for a long time. And it's going to get bigger and less instead of getting less. So, we kind of believed in what we were doing. And back then,
but what made you believe? I mean, to all of those out there that came into the wrapping business maybe 2, 1, 3 years back, there's already a business going on. There's been a couple of years wraps around, people know what it is. What made you think, okay, I might be the first or second one to dust this in my area, but what made you believe there's something here?
I think that's something that's called passion. You love what you do. I love to work with cars. I love to do detail works. And I think when you, because we tried several things in the beginning, we did some finishing work, like wheels and grill from cars with plasti dip or just dipping stuff. And you notice that this isn't the, it wasn't that good. So, you focus more and more on doing the wraps, and you, because I work for like, let's say, more than 20 years with a vinyl, you know what you're dealing with, and you kind of trust in the product. Okay, there, in time, there's some issues with the industry of providing the film, but overall, I mean, it's got a future, and you know, when you work with it, you believe in the product, and when you see the result of what you're doing, yeah, you tend to get very enthusiastic about it. At least I did.
Rapaholic.
Yeah.
So let's say we forward down the clock to today, and you've been going at it for a while. And if you ask one of your repetitive customers, why would you say they keep on coming back to you?
For sure, and most of all for the quality finishing touch, the quality work. The service they get, which for me is very important, and also the information that they need to get when you get your car wrapped. It's not just about selling a product and getting the money and not worrying about what's going to be next, but it's you're selling an emotion to a client, and you should guide them in this process. Maybe sounds stupid, but for me, I notice that the clients that come to us, I mean, you don't need a car wrap to get your car faster. You don't need a car wrap to get your life better. You just need a car wrap because you love it and you love cars, and this is an emotion. And yeah, we sell a product which we call as a niche. It's an extension of your personality, which you want to express on your car.
Right, because it's an expression, right?
Yeah, and yeah, people need some guidance in their choice about wrapping a car. They need to know what options there are, what they do with dealing with, and they need to know what are the good and the bad things about getting your car wrapped.
And would you say that you spend a lot of time with customers talking about what expectations they should have versus what they think they're gonna get?
Yeah, I think I do. At least my employee always say you talk too much.
Just rap.
Yeah, but yeah, it's true. And I love to explain to clients what they're getting, and also to motivate them. And that's probably why we build up a relationship, not just selling a car wrap.
Got it. I mean, I guess you're going for the long run, right? So you need to keep servicing your customers and being there for them.
Which is like I said, the relationship. So it's a long-term thing. You just, at least in my option, I don't go for money now and don't care about what's coming later on. It's an investment in a relationship. Sometimes, okay, you know, they get their car up and it might take 2-3 years before they come back to get another car wrapped. But when they come back and are very motivated to get another car wrapped, it makes me happy because I know I did a good job.
Yeah, plus you have the other side of it all, that if they are happy, they're going to tell their friends or colleagues about you, and they will come probably, and it spreads.
Yes, yeah. Most of our clients find us through this mouth-to-mouth advertisement. It's not because I advertise on TV or on newspapers. On Facebook a lot, but that's pretty much the only way we express ourselves to the outside.
I'm interested to hear, Alex, how a normal day in your life looks like. I mean, shop looks like.
Usually I start getting up around 6 o'clock and start to go to work around 7, be there at 5 past 7 because I live like 500 meters away.
That's convenient.
Yep. Too lazy to take the bike or anything else, just drive with my car every morning. But
usually, your car is advertisement, right? Yep, so you must show it.
Yep, I have to show. But sometimes we have meetings or get work outside, and then we need to go some places, so I need to bring the car anyway. Usually I start around 7 o'clock, cleaning up my shop.
Mostly. After you start with cleaning first.
Yep, every morning I start up with cleaning, and when the guys come in, because I have 4 employees, we start with coffee and chatting, and then they get to do what is in their agenda or in their planning,
right?
And we start the day. Maybe it's better if we start with Mondays. Usually the cars come in on Mondays and we clean them. 2 or 3 cars come in. We start cleaning them, taking them apart. And then, usually by the time we're finished preparing everything, the Monday is over.
Do you guys work in teams or you work one man per car?
It's various. Sometimes we work in teams of 2 people, and sometimes just every man for himself. It depends. It depends on the jobs. Depends on how the planning is made up for the week. Little jobs usually are taken by my colleagues one by one. You know, they take their own little jobs, and if we do a full cover, full wrap, then usually we work in a team of 2.
Right. So I'm guessing that the guys, maybe you also wrap from Tuesday on.
Yep. Yeah.
Where do you manage to squeeze in all the meetings, the emails, the phone calls?
Yeah, I've got my sister who works with us. She's doing all the planning, the administration, the invoices, the and also answering the emails most of the time.
That's important.
Yeah, and if she doesn't know or if she has any questions, she'll ask me to come, and we spend some time every day chatting about what the issues are, things are, answers on emails and stuff like that.
How is it working with a family member? I know every family member is different, but what's the positive?
It's perfect. I love it. Most of it, the good thing is that family is another trust area. It's easier to trust the family member, and especially when they work with administration, finance, and stuff like that, it gives me peace. Because a few years ago, I had to do everything on my own. I started as a one-man company, and everything, you have to do everything yourself, and it takes a lot of time. And when you start hiring people, it's kind of difficult to let go of some areas because you want to keep control over several areas of your company, which is not an option when you start growing, because you need to be able to delegate, you know, different areas of the company to different people.
What's been the most challenging for you to delegate?
The control.
The total control, you mean? Just a special part?
The issue for me is to let go and trust people to do their job and not to keep on, infiltrating in their jobs. If you understand, I can give you an example. They're wrapping on a piece and they're not sure if they're okay with it. And they ask me to help and I'm not helping. I just take it out of their hands and finish it. And this was an issue for me, not to give them the space to learn, to make mistakes and to learn from the mistakes, but just because I want to make sure it's going to be okay for the client.
Right. Cause it's a two-sided sword, right? You want to deliver good quality, but you still want to let the team learn and be able to do some mistakes so that they can learn.
It's a challenge to have your own company, especially when you have workers, people that work with you, because it gives you a lot of feeling of responsibility, and also you want to not let them down, and you want to give them all your talents, so everything you want them to learn, everything you know. But it's difficult because everybody has his own or her own way of learning, and also they all have their own way of working, different techniques and everything. Right. But all in all, it has to become a good quality product for the client.
I agree. So that means that you guys start wrapping somewhere around Tuesday, and maybe you're done with, if it's a whole wrap, maybe you're done by Wednesday, Thursday,
Most of the time, yeah. Usually we have, lately it's a little bit too busy, but usually we had two or three cars in the company for wrapping, which is, it's good for people to do. And then some, in between we have some little jobs like wrapping a roof, putting some striping on a car, you know, like some little jobs that come in between. But three cars, two or three cars full wrap, depends on the size. It's a good tweak. But then we take the cars apart and wrap them, and we finish usually by Wednesday, Thursday, and then putting them back together and having the car delivered on Friday, which... this is pretty much how we go through our week.
I'm guessing that Friday's got to be a fun day because you do delivery. So I'm guessing that customer comes by and it takes some time.
Yeah, it can be hectic too. Because as a lot of people know, we do the tuning on cars, everything with the wrap, concerning the wrapping. And not always everything is finished in time, or you're waiting. Like we ordered some wheels for a car, and you have to put them on, and they're not finished in time. So you're always waiting, always fighting with the time to finish the delivery before 5 o'clock Friday.
Oh, okay. So you're doing more than just wraps. You're doing wheel tunings and
the basic thing we do is wrapping the car, but we try to give full service to clients. So if they bring the car for a full wrap and they said they want to keep their wheels to change the color, we offer them the opportunity to get the wheels to another company to have the wheels painted in black gloss, for instance, and then they take them back and put them back on.
Yeah. Got it. Do you guys do a big reveal when the customer comes, or you just they come into the shop and they just see the car?
Yeah, it depends on what the clients want. Usually the car is just there. We're not putting a piece of cloth on the car and pulling it off.
Yeah.
That's not the way we do it. Usually we just, the client comes in and we introduce them to their new car.
That's right. It's a new car, right?
Yeah. And we have the tendency to get the client, keep the client informed all through the week. Most of the clients that come by, that we have their phone numbers. We send them we have them the pictures while we're working, or they follow us on Facebook. And most of the time, we put pictures on during the week on what we're doing, so they know, right. And they know what to expect. Of course,
we were talking a little bit just before about hard times, yeah. Right? And what's been the hardest lesson you ever learned during this all those years?
That's a good one. I have to think about this one. I think the hardest part is, let me think. Yeah, it's not to focus on other things around you, just focus on the job. I've learned that getting involved outside of what you're doing sometimes gets too much cloudy. I've learned the one thing is that I want to be on the work, wrapping work itself, not in the office trying to get clients in or arranging invoices or arranging pricing, everything that concerns the company itself, you know, the
right. You want to do the reps, right?
Yeah, how the organization of the company runs and things like that. Okay, it concerns me. I know, because I'm the owner and I have to be concerning and be thinking about how to arrange everything. But I noticed that this is not my strongest point. My strongest thing is to wrap the car. This is where I have my quality.
Right.
I love to do that, and this is what I want to keep on doing. So I told the guys that that I work with, you know that I'll be on the work, I'll be on the floor, I'll be downstairs wrapping with you guys, and not upstairs, because the moment I'll start doing that, this is what I don't want. You know, this is I did once before it, and I ended up in hospital, so I'm not going to do that again. Not make the same mistake. Yeah.
You live and learn. So if I happen to come by your shop and I ask your colleagues, the four rappers, so what's Alex strongest at? What's the best thing he's good at rapping? What would
I
they
think
say?
It's the rapping itself. Yeah. So the way to put it on the car, they'll probably say speed. That I'm fast, and that the quality on the finishing touches, I hope that they'll say this. Because
you know, are you fast because you've been doing it for so long, or is it because you're always pushing yourself?
Yeah.
Or
no, I'm always just pushing myself. I know, because this is what I love to do. I love to get it to challenge myself to the highest quality level. And also to get things done in time.
So wait, let's go into here, because I find this interesting. Let's go like this. Let's say you're going to do the bumper, front bumper on a Mini Cooper, right? And you've done a couple, you know approximately how long it's going to take you. Do you go, before you start, you go think, okay, this one took me about 40 minutes last time. I'm going to do this one in 35, and I'm going to get same quality, or you just start rapping? Do you prepare yourself?
I prepare myself for any piece of car rap I do. But I'm not going to look at it like I did it last time in 40 minutes. My focus will never be on the time, because I think the focus, at least in my point of view, the focus will be on the quality. I'm going to be looking at the bumper thinking, okay, last time I had a hard time or screwed up with this area. In my feelings, I think this could have been better. Then I'll try to do it better this time.
Mm-hmm.
And also, every time I look at a bumper, for instance, if I can get the quality higher, and how to reach the higher quality, how do I approach it? Do I put seams in? Where do I put pieces in? Do I put it? Do it in one piece? This for me is very important, how to approach this part of a vehicle, what solutions you put up or come up with to make the quality when you finish, to make it high quality. And yeah, I think you've talked to Arjan from SVA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stressless
vinyl application, and I know him for many years. And for me, his way of approaching this stressless way of putting the vinyl on is also interesting. It challenges me to see where you can make less stress on the film, on the foil, to get the quality up higher and higher.
So I guess you work with that way of working as well, of wrapping.
Yeah, we use it, yeah.
So is there anything special you had to change your mind on about the industry this last year?
No, not really. No, there's some doors that open. I think more and more new brands will come on the market, or not new brands, but older brands that are getting more and higher quality film, wrap films, mm-hmm. which for me is interesting to try and test. We tried several brands now, and you can see the quality difference, but you can also see that they're getting better too.
Are you talking, for example, about, like, it's all often known here, for example, in Europe, that the Chinese brands are not that good, all that? Are you referring to that they're getting better?
No, I'm honestly, I wouldn't know about the Chinese brands, because we haven't really tried, and it's kind of hard to try them too, because they're not very open about giving you samples. But I'm more talking about brands like Axis, PWF, and things like that. They're more interesting for us to use. Their quality is getting up. For us, 99% of the car wraps we do is 3M 1080. That's most of the wrap film we use. And yeah, it's interesting to see other options too, with their plus.
That's and minus. Interesting. I would have figured you out for an Avery, man. I don't know.
Yeah, we use it, but not that much. It's okay. It's a good film, but funny enough, 90% of the clients that come in ask for 3M. If you talk to other people in Holland, other colleagues of mine, it varies from different areas. Some areas have more tendency to Avery. Some areas tend to choose more 3M. I think it's a local thing too. It's about what they used to, or what, like you said, if it's mouth-to-mouth advertisement and you have your car wrapped in 3M and you're going to talk to a friend of you, you're going to tell them you should wrap your car, then you're going to talk about 3M, because they don't know about Avery. So this is, for us, it's not a choice of quality. It's more a choice of what clients come up with.
True.
Yeah, and honestly, any brand has a good part and bad parts about their product.
Oh, that's for sure.
And when you work with a product, you know how to get around all the issues and to solve the problems. Avery has some issues. 3M has issues. Hexis, they all have issues. If you don't know how to work with them, you're going to end up having complaints from clients. So you always know, you always try to figure out how to work with this product the best way.
Oh, that's for sure. That's your hand gets warmer for every time you do a wrap with a certain vinyl. You get you start reading the vinyl completely bit different after a while.
Yeah. You smell it, you eat it, you taste it.
Touché. What would be your dream wrap? What would you like to wrap?
I've done funny stuff. It's more, I have a bucket list for some cars.
What's the top one there?
At the moment, it's going to be Audi R8. Mm-hmm. I haven't done this. Pretty much done a lot of other cars, like McLaren's, Lamborghinis, Ferraris, all name it. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot. I've done scuba diving boats. I've done boats. I've done helicopters. I haven't done planes, which I think will be fun to do a plane, but I'm not sure if they're being wrapped at all. Maybe just pieces, but I've done crazy stuff to wrap.
What's been the weirdest wrap you've ever done?
The weirdest, I think the submarines. I've done submarines. They're fun.
It seems it's a complex surface, I gotta say.
No, actually, they're kind of easy to wrap, honestly, because they're polyester. They are very smooth, and they have very curvy surface, so no hard corners. They're pretty easy to do.
But isn't it okay? Maybe I'm thinking of the old submarines with the rivets and plates and all of that.
No, these are very modern, private used scuba boats, diving boats, or for wealthy people that have yachts and want to go down and have fun underwater.
Ah, now I understand what they're used for. Okay, yeah. I usually ask the people that are on the pod if what their advice would be for a novice rapper. Let's say someone that's getting into the business, and you're sitting down and having a couple of beers with that person. What, and that person would ask you, what would you recommend me think of? What would you say to that person?
There's several things. First of all, get acquainted with film, with rapping film. And we always say do it, and do it a lot. It's you just try and throw away, do it again until you're satisfied with the quality. This is how we back then learned to do it, because there wasn't anybody to tell us or teach us. We just tried and probably threw away kilometers of film before we managed to do it right. I think car wrapping is a matter of being a very detailed person. You have to have eye for detail. You have to have patience, lots of patience, and never to rush into things, and always do it a lot. It's a matter of time to teach, to learn to wrap, I think.
That's the hard one, giving it time.
Yeah. And I think you can't learn to wrap a car in 1 or 2 years. I think it will take longer, especially if you want to get the high quality car wraps. You need to give yourself time and to look, start with a company that wraps cars and start from the bottom.
Yeah, because the safest, or maybe not the safest, but best way to learn is actually by messing it up and looking at what you've done and why you ended up being wrong and how you can do it better next time, right?
Buy film, buy a roll of film and try on your own car. This is usually what we say.
Scratch your own car.
Yeah.
Better, it's cheaper than scratching the customer's car.
Yeah, for sure.
So what's up with the Rapaholics for 2019? What can you tell us? How's the year?
Last year was a great year. And I'm 100% sure 2019 is going to be even better. We're looking at a good full agenda, full planning.
That's
so
nice.
So, yeah, we've had some, we have some... what do you call it? We managed to get some good jobs already from a couple of companies, for a couple of 100 cars even for one company.
Wow.
And so we kind of good in our planning.
What do you think you got that project?
That project is a vehicle lettering. They call trucks. There are many trucks that need to be wrapped, just the truck itself, not the trailer, I mean, not the truck, which is good.
Why do you think you got it? Is it because of?
Yeah, because of quality, because of the client. We have a good connection with the client. We know him for many years, so that's probably why we have a good deal with him.
Yeah, we can go back to what you said earlier in the podcast. If you make sure to deliver on service and always be there, the customer will remember.
Yeah, it's a relation. We're growing, so yeah, we're looking forward to a new year with many, many challenges for sure that's coming. We love it. So.
I am looking forward to seeing it all through social media.
Yeah, keep on following us on Rapolic Facebook. So that's most of that's the thing where we most put our work on. So
I guess that's probably most of us, just Facebook, Instagram. Yeah. I think not that many do Snapchat, though.
No, you do Snapchat? No, my son, he's 20. He uses Snapchat, but I don't have the slightest clue.
Maybe he can teach you.
Yeah, you'll have to teach me because I'm really a geek concerning computers and stuff like that. I'm happy I got this thing working because I'm not that good with computers.
It turned out good. So, Alex, like you probably know, I always leave a couple of seconds freely for the guest to say their words of wisdom, rap wisdom, if you may call it. So the mic is all yours.
I haven't thought about any of this. But, yeah, just keep on doing what you do and love your job. As long as it's a passion, it's going to be okay. It's not a work. It's a hobby. And I love to do it. So, yeah, enjoy what you do and make some good cars come out.
Great. So, Alex van der Linden, thank you very much for taking your time. It's been a cool chat here and an interesting one. So thank you very much for being a part of it.
No worries. I love to do it. So, yeah.
And I hope to see you in a FESPA show once again. And maybe this time around, I might even try one of those Cohibas.
I'll take them for sure.
All right. Thank you very much, Alex.
Thanks, Sam. Thank you. Nice to talk to you. Bye-bye.